Scripture reading this morning is from Luke chapter 2, verses 41 through 52. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the festival according to custom. After the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy, Jesus, stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw them, they were astonished. His mom said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know that I had been in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart, and Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. These are the words of the God for the people of God.
Well, we're at the tail end of Christmas. We're on the back end of Christmas, the Sunday after Christmas. And we all had our Christmases, some of you did some traveling, maybe a little bit of traveling. We didn't do much traveling. We just Christmas Day, we went and visited some friends in Columbia. They have little children, these friends of ours from previous church. And so it was kind of that, like, living vicariously through somebody else with younger children who had the excitement of fresh toys and things like that. And so we enjoyed it. It was good to see them and to play with them and hang out with them and see them celebrate Christmas. So we went kind of as far as Columbia and came back. Some of you all, where did some of you all go to? Those of you that left. Some of you went to Marshfield. Yep, that's a journey. That's a journey. Anybody else? O'Fallon, Illinois? Are you sure? I'm just kidding. I know about the one in Missouri. Is it just across the border? Is it? Okay, it's close. Close enough, probably confusing to anybody that lives in St. Louis when somebody says, "I'll meet you in O'Fallon." Okay, anybody else? Where'd you travel? Where? Lynn Creek? Okay, yep, down the road. Indiana! Okay, I had a little trip. Was that a couple days or a week or 3 days? Okay, good. What'd you say? Rogersville. All right, that's about 30 minutes. That's not bad. Decent travels. Hannibal. Oh, okay. Went to Hannibal. Cool. Good. Hannibal. So, some of us did some Christmas traveling. Christmas was a little bit different for Kim and I. This is our first year. Our daughter, Alexa, she's working at the hospital, and so they required her to do some different holiday hours, and so she was working there for the day. Now, she's here with us this morning, so we got to see her, right before Christmas began and right after Christmas began, and so we've spent time with her, but it was just our first Christmas without our daughter on Christmas Day. And I think probably a lot of you had maybe some new scenarios this year with Christmas. Some scenarios you'd normally done this year after year after year, and this year you didn't. You did something different. It was a new scenario. Maybe you liked it, maybe you didn't like it, but regardless, you kind of lived into it, right? You chose to live into it. It's often this time of the year that we start to kind of reminisce, right? We reminisce about Christmases in the past and the different family gatherings that we had and where those gatherings happened, and we reminisce those good times that we had and maybe even kind of miss them some. And so we reminisce in that type of way. Home can change. Home can change. Going home can change, right? Like, for me, St. Joseph is kind of going home. And yet, I think it's been a long time since I've gone home for Christmas because of Christmas Eve services and things like that. So what it means to go home can change. And sometimes when we come home, you've left, you come home, there's change. Maybe you left and you experienced something while you were away from home. with family or friends or something like that. And so coming home can sometimes change as well. And this is the case of our scripture passage. This is kind of what we're reading about. We're reading about this event that happens, the only event that we see about the childhood of Jesus. Like, we don't find many passages about his childhood. And it's an omen of future change, right? It's an omen about things to come in the future for Mary and Joseph and Jesus. Jesus' family traveling to Jerusalem for Passover. Very special holiday for them, much like Christmas for us. And they make this journey. And when you make a journey like that for spiritual reasons, we have a name for that when you take a trip for spiritual reasons. What's that called? That's called a... Wow, you guys are quick. Oh, was it on the screen? Oh, well, that was, yeah. Well, now it is. A pilgrimage, that's right. And a pilgrimage is just a spiritual journey that you're going to take. Leaving home, going someplace else, taking a spiritual journey. And so they were heading home. They went to Jerusalem. They had the first half of their pilgrimage. They worshiped. They experienced the Passover with friends and family. And then the other part of the pilgrimage is going back to home, right? The pilgrimage is not complete till you're home. And so Mary and Joseph and Jesus took this pilgrimage, this spiritual journey. They're heading home now to Nazareth when all of a sudden someone realizes, where's Jesus? Where has anybody seen Jesus? Like, where's Jesus at? I love it. I love this passage. The parents of the Son of God lost him. I mean, parents, I don't know what you've done in life that you feel guilty for, but just remember, the Son of God was lost by his mortal parents. Right? That's exactly what happened. They lost him. And it says that they actually didn't find him for 5 days. So if I'm reading it correctly, it looks like they were a day out when they had this realization, oh my gosh, do you have Jesus? I don't have Jesus. And so they're a day out, so it probably takes a day to get back. And then it says they spent 3 days looking for him in Jerusalem. Must have been a lot going on in Jerusalem. 5 days. Trying to find Jesus. Mothers, can you imagine Mary's anxiety? Can you imagine? Have you ever lost a? I mean, I remember getting lost in the mall once when I was a kid and having to go and page my mom and my mom running over and oh, what happened? What, right? And that was 10 minutes. 5 days. Of trying to find Jesus. And when she finds Jesus, he, of course, is in his father's home. He's in the temple, right? I'm still a little confused. Like, I think that would be a stark reminder. And what's interesting is the passage says they didn't quite get it. They didn't quite get it. But what it should have been, I would think, based upon those angelic visits and some kind of foreknowledge of what was to come, was a picture of Jesus's divine and special purpose in his life. A reminder that he was set apart for something extremely challenging and extremely special, right? What was it like to go back home for Mary after that? For her to go home knowing that her son has special purpose. And I'm sure that maybe there were things that changed around the house. Maybe they changed a little bit after that pilgrimage. After all, Jesus' days were numbered. They were numbered. And so Mary, Jesus' mother, it says she treasured all of those days with him after that, right? I mean, I'm sure she did before that too, but especially treasured her days with him. Because someday for Mary, home was going to be different because Jesus' relationship to that home and his proximity there was going to change. It was going to be different. Jesus' family went on a pilgrimage. It is important for all of us to experience pilgrimages, to do similar things. Journeys away from home, journeys back home. recognizing that there are spiritual implications of each journey for you as a Christian, shaping your life in ways that you don't understand. And sometimes even trips that we didn't plan for spiritual purposes will have spiritual purposes. There will be spiritual reasons behind them. And you will come back years later and look back. And kind of like our trip to Italy, I don't know if we thought of it as being, but when we were in the Vatican for a day, we're not Catholic, but there was a very special aspect for us of that trip was being in the Vatican and seeing all of these people come from all over the earth to come into that place to have that kind of special moment. The importance of pilgrimages that shape us. There was an article came out about 10 years ago, New York Times, around this time. It was titled The New Allure of Sacred Pilgrimages. And the article kind of summarizes, I'll summarize it for you. It says, according to research, there's a noticeable decline in organizational religion. I mean, we all kind of know that. But religious pilgrimages are more popular than ever. At the first International Congress on Tourism and Pilgrimages in September, the United Nations released a study finding that of every three tourists worldwide, one is a pilgrim. A total of 330 million people a year, one out of three. The author of the article went on six pilgrimages to discover what this phenomenon says about the future of faith. What he discovered: pilgrimage is not merely ancillary to the modern spiritual existence. In an age of doubt and shifting beliefs, people are no longer willing to blindly accept the beliefs of their ancestors. They are insisting instead on choosing their own beliefs. A pilgrimage can be a central part of this effort. The rise of the idea of being on a spiritual journey is taking over the world. A pilgrimage reverses the commonly held belief that religion is passive. At its core, it's a gesture of action. In a world in which more and more things are artificial and ephemeral, a sacred journey gives the pilgrim the chance to experience something both physical and real. And I know that this was probably the experience that Carla had. You know, we know that Carla went to Mozambique. And she like went on a pilgrimage, probably like a once in a lifetime type of pilgrimage and spiritual journey that we know had special meaning to her. She was able to come back with us and share with us about that journey. Did any of you go on some type of pilgrimage or spiritual journey in the last year? You went someplace that had spiritual meaning to you? Yes. Walk to Emmaus is that, yeah, definitely a pilgrimage where you went, had a spiritual journey. Anybody else something you just want to mention today? I know that I did a number of just little retreats to Palme de Terre Lake. There's a retreat center. I've talked about it, met with a monk who's there, and it was very good. It was little spiritual journeys, right? Little pilgrimages. So what I would ask you to think about is maybe in 2025, what pilgrimages would you like to take? What spiritual journeys would you like to take? A movement away from home, which always brings about a certain amount of discomfort, right? Some discomfort, and then a journey back home to complete that pilgrimage. These journeys are important for your spiritual formation, for your depth with God. God shapes us through these journeys, right? And sometimes they happen in different ways. And so next week, we're going to have our kind of new Compass team up here. Compass team is really an adaptive change team we've talked about for a year. We kind of renamed them Compass team as they help us kind of with spiritual direction and direction as a church. And so next week, some of them are going to come up here, and we're going to talk about how in 2025, like, we want to go on this pilgrimage together, where we kind of lift up these seven values that we spend a lot of time talking about. And we're going to have a focus for each month, a value for each month. Now, the Wesley's Do No Harm, Do Good, Stay in Love with God, that'll be three different months, right? But we'll have kind of just this focus, not for the sermons, not for the sermons, but for you as a person who's going on a spiritual pilgrimage, that you would think about your month. We'll even have, we'll hand out a calendar next year. We've got a calendar for everybody. And the calendar has different scripture passages and the value focus. And then it's going to have a place for you to think about the type of actions that you want to do in the coming month in order to kind of live into this value better in your life, right? Because, you know, the article, once again, it said that people are looking to experience something both physical and real because of their faith. So we're going to supply you each month with an opportunity to think about ways that you want to make your faith both physical and real. And we're going to challenge you to do that. We want you to make plans for how you're going to do this in 2025. And maybe a part of that plan for you might be taking a pilgrimage to go from home, to come back. You can think about that and plan it. And so I'll even, to help with that, I'm going to even offer an open invitation to take you on a pilgrimage with me. If you'd like to go on a pilgrimage with me, we'll kind of advertise this soon enough and put the details out. But May 4th through May 9th, there's a Great Plains Spiritual Conference. The Great Plains Conference is similar. It's a United Methodist Conference. We're the Missouri Conference, which consists of Missouri. Yeah, that's good. That's good. Great Plains is not. It consists of Kansas and Nebraska, where there happen to be a lot of Great Plains. Yep. And so that's what their conference is called. And so they're putting this on for anybody that wants to come. And it's a 5-day spiritual growth event. It'll happen at the Saint Benedict Center near Schuyler, Nebraska, is where it's going to happen. And it's for pastors and lay people. For pastor, whoever wants to do it. And so what we'll be doing is we'll be doing each day these daily rhythms of prayer and meditation and communion and worship together with other people. We'll have a guest speaker each morning, a seminary professor or pastor of spiritual formation, I believe, is going to be there and do some teaching. We'll have discussion groups with others where you'll be able to talk and kind of process through what you're learning. It is a for reals spiritual pilgrimage to Nebraska of all places, right? Friends, nobody goes to Nebraska for fun. I mean, what would you do for fun in Nebraska? Visit family, that could be fun. That could be fun. But I don't know. It's hard to see anything fun happening in Nebraska or Iowa for that matter. Nothing fun happens in Iowa. That's why we know, since Ella Johnson went there for school. Ella's at Iowa, you know. You do what? The Pop-Tart Bowl? That's a real thing? Okay, well. See, I would think Nebraska, Iowa. Nebraska, you're going for spiritual purposes. Iowa, you're going for educational purposes. Nobody goes for fun. But That's just me. On a faith journey is what we're talking about. Taking a faith journey. So more information on that soon, more details for you to kind of think about. Life itself is a great journey. It's your pilgrimage. Only yours. It's your pilgrimage. If you're fortunate, hopefully you think about intentional pilgrimages you can go on. Intentional pilgrimages you will take. Ways you intend to go outside of your home, to move closer to God, to return to your home, change. Trips you take for spiritual purposes. Also, unintentional journeys will happen as well. Things you didn't plan on. Life experiences. Things that happen to us that you didn't ask for. Things you didn't plan for. Things you didn't plan on. Jesus' mother Mary, she knew that changes were coming for her and her family. She had this sense. She watched her son over time become a man. She treasured that time with him, knowing that things would change and that he would change, and therefore home would change. Her home would become different, and she would change as a result of all those things. God had plans for Jesus. God had plans for Mary, right? God had plans for Mary, doing a good work in Mary too, and who she was, even when everything changed. This is true for all of us. This is what's happening to all of us. God is using our intentional pilgrimages, and he's using those unintentional journeys that occur in us. Things we planned on doing in life, things life did to us. Some of that's good, and some of that is bad. We might look back and say, well, that wasn't particularly pleasant, that which happened, right? But all of those things used to transform us as God's children. And that's really the theme of a book. I've talked about it before, Everything Belongs by Father Richard Rohr. He's a Franciscan monk, a man of peace, a spiritual father to many people. And the book theme is that God uses all of our lives to shape us and to transform us as his children. And so like Mary, like we cherish the good things, don't we? We cherish those memories and those people and those things. But what I can tell you is the cross is coming. The cross is coming. For Jesus, the cross was coming. And you don't necessarily have to like those crosses that you end up bearing. You don't have to like it. But surely you see the good purposes that God our Father used for Jesus' cross. Surely you see the redemption in the story of humanity through Jesus' hardship and through the cross that he faced. You consist of all of your life, all those things within your life, all your journeys, all your pilgrimages, those things that were intentional, that you planned, that you desired, those things that were unintentional, not planned, probably not desired. Those moments cherished in your home that made home special to you, those moments that forever changed home. God will take all of it. He will shape you. He will transform you. In the words of Richard Rohr, it all belongs. You know, time is a limited commodity. We know that. It's a limited commodity. And maybe there is time for you for many more pilgrimages, many more spiritual journeys for you to take, right? And perhaps there are very few. So plan wisely. But remember, sometimes you plan life, you make great plans, and sometimes life happens to you and changes those plans. But regardless, know this, remember this. God has all the time he needs to do his good work in you that he has to do. He has all the time that he needs in your life. His purposes will be made complete in your life if you give your life to him, all of your life to him. The places you need to see and maybe not see, just leave that up to him. The people you need to meet, and maybe some people you don't need to meet, just leave that up to him. The pilgrimages you need to make and the pilgrimages that you thought you would make, but you're not going to make, and that's okay. Leave that in his hands. You know, Mary, she had her years with her son, and then he belonged to the world. He was for the world as it was meant to be. So commit each year, each month, each day, each minute to God your Father. And he will see you through it. He will see you through all of it. He will transform you. He will complete his good work within you that he means to complete. Nothing will be left incomplete on the day you finish your race. Nothing will be left incomplete. So, let your heart rest in that. Let it rest in that. Have peace in your pilgrimage and your journey, in your knowing that everything belongs, and God will see you through everything that you need to in order to be complete in him for that final journey home. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity to take spiritual pilgrimages. Lord, I would wish everyone had an opportunity to take at least one in life that really deepened their connection to you and to the church and to others. So, Lord, we pray for greater opportunities for pilgrimages. But, Lord, more than anything, we pray that each day we wake up and that we give each day to you, each minute and hour of the day, that it is yours. Father, we trust you, and we trust that all things will happen in the intended time that they need to happen because we're following you. We're following you. So thank you for the journey of life. Thank you for each person in this room and for their journey that you're taking them on. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.